Good morning, everybody. So nobody likes it when someone is too cocky, right? When they're arrogant or prideful. We all kind of intuitively know that that's just not cool, that it's not an attractive quality. So in that spirit, I have a few quotes from professional athletes, and I want you to weigh in on what the most cocky quote is, I guess. That's how you'd say it. Let's start off with Muhammad Ali. "I'm not the greatest, I'm the double greatest. Not only do I knock them out, I pick the round." It's pretty good. Michael Jordan, actually pretty humble guy, I thought, but he says, "There is no I in team, but there is in win. Pass me the ball." All right, that's Jordan. "God sent me to earth to show people how to play football." And he means soccer. That's Cristiano Ronaldo. And Terrell Owens, this is a favorite. "I'll watch the highlights every now and then, but as far as watching the game, I feel like I am the game." That's pretty good. How about this? "My IQ is 188. End of discussion. It's been proven certified genius." That would be Brian. "If Jesus were here, I'd fight him too." Mike Tyson. What do you think takes the cake? The last one was a zinger. That's pretty irreverent. Can't believe the pastor read that in church. I read those quotes to you because we're talking about glory today, the concept of glory. And I think we all intuitively understand that when we glorify ourselves, it's just off. We don't find that attractive. It doesn't seem right. Why? Why is that? Well, I would say we're meant, and the Bible would say, we're meant ultimately to glorify God. And that's really the thesis statement for today. We're in a sermon series called Tune My Heart, and the metaphor is pretty simple. Instruments like that piano and the guitar behind me, they go out of tune constantly because of internal and external factors like humidity and temperature, and so they need to be retuned. Our hearts are no different. Human beings, our inner attitudes and actions, our convictions, our worldview, our virtue, all that goes out of tune pretty easily, doesn't it? And it's ugly when it's out of tune. And so in all kinds of areas, our prayer as followers of Jesus is that our hearts would be retuned. We're taking that line, of course, from that familiar hymn of the church, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." So as we enter into this series about tuning our hearts, the question then becomes, how do you do it? See, I know how to tune a guitar, but how do you tune a human heart? Well, first, we don't do it. God does it. But we can participate and we can use tools. So one tool we're introducing in this sermon series is called the New City Catechism. Now, in general, if you're on your smartphone during the whole sermon, you know, that's socially awkward. But I'm actually going to invite you, would you pull your smartphone out right now if you have it with you? And I just want to show you really quick, go to the App Store and type in New City Catechism. The tool that we have is about $5-6 in online if you want the hard book or the soft cover book. But I would say the app is just as good, maybe even better. I use the app all the time. What is a catechism? It's 52 questions and 52 answers that really tune our heart to God's truth. So New City Catechism is where we're at. Raise your hand if you found it yet. Catechism is CATECHISM, New City Catechism. I would highly encourage you to start doing that. I've been working with my kids on this. They even have a children's mode on the app you can click on, and the answers are a little more basic. My five-year-old Isaac is really taking the lead. He loves this memorization stuff. I bribe him with ice cream. And he's got the first 7 questions memorized. But what's interesting is the question we're talking about today, he has a hard time on it. See, the question is, how and why did God make us? And we'll break those up as we study them this morning. But the answer is, God made us male and female in his own image. And he always stops there. And he gets that look that a five-year-old gets, like, hey, high five me. Where's the ice cream? So I always have to help him. And I say, to glorify him. Isn't that kind of how it works? Whether you're five or not, we forget that to glorify him part. Where are we getting this in the Bible is always a really good question when you're listening to a preacher. So at this time, we're actually going to go to the book of Isaiah. And if you'd stand with me in reverence for the reading of God's word Just listen to how personal, how parental the language is here in the book of Isaiah. It's also on your bulletins and on the screen. I'll read this from Isaiah chapter 43. God has this to say to his people and to you and me. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you. O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. God knows your name. This is the best line. You are mine. God of the universe says that to you and to me. You're mine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And now we go to verse 6. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my what? My glory. Whom I have created for my glory. Whom I have formed. This is God's word. You may be seated. Glory is an interesting concept. It's really kind of worth a Google to define the term, because it's not really something we would know how to define. Maybe you would. Maybe you would define it like the definition on Webster here. Praise, honor, or distinction extended by common consent. Worshipful praise, honor, and thanksgiving. Glory's secondary definition is this: something that secures praise or renown, a distinguished quality or asset, a great beauty, a splendor. Do you even see Webster struggling here? It's like, how do you define glory? Because glory is like as good as it gets. It's a thing that we all chase after and want to fall down and worship itself. And the Bible would say glory belongs to God alone. If you're taking notes, the first point today as we go through this question and answer from the New City Catechism is the first part. How did God create us? And as my five-year-old would tell you, God created us male and female in his own image, and he stops there. But let's stop there as well for a little bit and talk about it. Think of what's embedded in this language. God created human beings, two different genders, in his image. What does that say? That says something that if you're married, you already know. Sometimes the other gender kind of fills in gaps where you fall short. It's as if God is saying, I want to have creatures who reflect my glory, but to do that, it's going to take two different types of complementary creatures, because one on his own and one on her own, they just can't quite get it. They'll need to partner in this work. And that is the complementary reflecting of God's glory. And we see this. I see this. My wife is constantly saying things and doing things that I find incredible. Like, I never would have thought about that. I never would have seen that. I don't know if she feels the same way about me. I won't put her on the spot. But the point is that we fit together, and when things are going well, we're reflecting the image of God. Now, if you make something in your own image, it has a family resemblance. That's an astounding thought for a minute. No matter how you feel about you, no matter if you're insecure, you don't like the way you look, you don't feel like you have what it takes, God looks at you and says, you have the family resemblance. I made you in my image. And so you have worth and dignity and value way apart from how well you can perform or how you measure up compared to others. God finds you intrinsically valuable because you're made in his image. And he is the highest good, the most beautiful beauty, the most glorious glory. God created us male and female in his own image. But what about the second part? Why did God create us? And this is where we get that Isaiah text from Isaiah 43:6. He created us to glorify him, to glorify him. Now, this raises an interesting question for most thoughtful people. And the question goes something like this. Is God insecure? Does God feel like he needs to create human beings to kind of constantly give them high fives and pat them on the back? Because that's our experience. We all go through that, right? When I was first starting out preaching, I was so bad at preaching, I knew that I was bad at preaching, And here's what I would often do after I got done. I just knew that didn't go really well. So I'd scan to find the most positive people. You know, the people who say nice things even when they shouldn't say nice things. And I'd walk up to them and I'd just kind of awkwardly stand there. I'd be like, how's it going? And I'd just wait. And then awkwardly they'd go, good job, good message. I'd say, oh, did you think so? What part? You know, I was just insecure, right? Hopefully that stopped. If I ever do that to you, just kind of slap me on the head or something. But the point is, we are constantly checking in, wanting reassurance when we're insecure. And so it's easy to kind of project that behavior on God. But the most learned theologians and the pastors throughout the ages and the leaders have all agreed that God, when he made human beings, he didn't make us out of some need. He did it because he wanted to share himself. He wanted some other people besides the tri-personal community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the Godhead to experience glory, to experience goodness. He did it out of sheer goodness and kindness. And he made you to welcome you in on the glory of him. He wants you to experience the goodness of him, and that's why he made you. That's why he made us. And so it's only right and natural to reflect his glory back to him. And when we are reflecting glory to God, we're happy. And when we're not, we're restless. We're frustrated. We're angry. We're hopeless. Do you know that you're a glory reflector? That's the purpose of your life. Not to make an insecure God feel great. He already feels great. But because he knows it'll make you happy and whole. Because he loves you. Because he looks at you and says, you're mine. You're mine. I made you in my image. And I love you. And you're valuable. And for all of eternity, you will reflect back the goodness. There will be this glory exchange. We get this wrong, though, don't we? We get it wrong. And you don't have to be a professional athlete to get it dreadfully wrong. I would say I get it wrong all the time. And so in the spirit of this conversation about athleticism, I want to introduce a tool here. What is this? It's a red card or a yellow card in soccer, right? Or football, depending on where you're from. Now, I am not really an athlete at all. I don't know much about soccer, but our kids' ministry director played college soccer, and so she gave me a good lesson on how this stuff works in soccer. And apparently, if you do the wrong thing in soccer, you get a yellow card first. And if you get three yellow cards, is this right? No? Two yellow cards? Two yellow cards. Oh, it's even higher stakes than I figured. Then you get a red card, right? Is that how it works, Sean? If you get a red card, that's a bad deal because you get ejected from the game. Is that correct? All right. So what would it look like if we started to give ourselves and one another in a spirit of love, not judgment, yellow cards occasionally when we trip up and fall into this business of self-glorification? Because after all, you know, we're not made to glorify ourselves. We're made to glorify God. We'll never be happy glorifying ourselves, only glorifying God. Here's what it might look like. We would just have a little card like this, and we would just look for the infractions of what would merit a yellow card. So let's think of some. How about this one? When I find that I can't help but publicly share my wins, my highlight reel, the stuff I do well, but I keep all of my failures private. If you're falling into this behavior where you're always talking about how, oh man, that's a great story. I went on an even cooler trip. Or do you know, gosh, I don't think this fits in the conversation, but it's going to fit now. I just wanted to tell you about what I got on the ACT, and it was a really good score. You know, if that's you, give yourself a yellow card, not out of shame, but just say, hey, I'm falling into self-glorification, and it's not how I was created. Some of us say, oh, phew, I'd never do that. Okay, well, what about this? When I'm too self-referencing in my conversations. It's not necessarily that you're always bragging or anything like that, but the conversations really do focus around you. Just give yourself a yellow card and say, it's okay. Jesus died for my sins. There's no judgment here. I'm forgiven and free, but I'm acting out of line with my purpose. How about this? When I find that I enjoy dominating conversations with my problems and my opinions and my agenda. I mean, think of a little pie chart. If you had a pie chart, what percentage, how big of a slice of the pie is the conversation about you and you talking about, you just talking? For me, if I'm honest, I do this. Sorry if I've done this to you. I can dominate conversations. And what would it look like if I just gently said, Mike, I'm just going to give you a little yellow card. You're not ejected from the game. But why don't you ask her a question instead of talking the whole time? All right. How about this? You introverts, you thought you got off the hook? Nope. When I am quiet, when I know I should speak up. Have you ever been there? You know you should probably say something, but gosh, you don't want to be perceived a certain way by speaking up. You know you should encourage your buddy, but you know you're fixing a car in the garage and that's not what guys do. Wouldn't want to look weak. There are so many ways that we self-glorify by our silence. And that's hard to find, but once you learn to look for it, you'll see it all the time. You can give yourself a yellow card and do the right thing and just say, you know what, this is, might be a little hard to say, but I just want to say I really appreciate you for these reasons, and you're so important to me. Or somebody's gossiping or something at work, and you just say, you know what, I just don't feel, let's just kind of change the topic. This isn't making me feel awesome or whatever. You know, that's hard to say. But the reason we don't say those hard things is because we're worried about our own glory, isn't it? Lastly, when I care too much about what people think of me, who hasn't fallen into that? Oh, I only got that many likes on Facebook? Man, I'm in single-digit shame here. 9 likes, right? What? When you're falling into that, you might need to give yourself a yellow card. Now, speaking of yellow cards, there is a red card, and not to push the metaphor too hard, but some of you grew up in church or you had a family system where this is hard for you, this discussion about policing your own self-glorification tendencies, because your parents or your pastor or whoever always went for the red card. Whenever you showed the hint, little hint of pride or sin of any kind, it wasn't a yellow card. It wasn't a gentle, hey, slow down. It was, you're ejected from the game, buddy. It's over. Now, if that's your experience, I want to say this respectfully to the church you grew up in or the family system you grew up in. They were wrong. If God handed out red cards, he would never have sent his son to die in your place. Sin is serious, and self-glorification will not be put up with forever. But God, in his great mercy, hands out a lot more than 2 yellow cards to each and every one of us, wooing us, compelling us to turn away from sin and turn towards him, to trust him for a forgiving love that can change our lives. And if you are the type of person who is just heaping on the guilt and the shame for every little thing that you do wrong, stop it. Stop it. God doesn't want you to do that. He loves you. He looks at you and says, you're mine. You're made in my image. And he invites you to gently start reflecting his glory in the way that you're created to do that. So that brings up a final question. How can we glorify God? I mean, it's kind of abstract, right? We know how to glorify ourselves. We're good at that, right? We just went over 5 ways. We could probably come up with 10 if we wanted to. How do you glorify God? Well, the catechism's answer is a question and answer format. They would say, we glorify God by enjoying him, loving him, trusting him, and obeying him. Look at that first one for a minute. A lot of you, that might be new for you. What? You glorify God by enjoying him? What? You only heard of like the obey part, and that's not so fun, but the enjoying part? Well, think of it rationally for a minute. If God is the source of every single good gift, everything you've ever truly loved that's worth loving, every pleasure in its purest form, every relationship, every act of kindness and love, every beautiful sunset, every wonderful hobby, all of the goodness and all the stuff that you love the most comes from God. It is God. He's pouring it out. It's his idea. It's not yours. And so when you enjoy God, you're enjoying him and his good things. And when you're enjoying his good things, you're just giving him credit. You're saying, God, I'm out here on this golf course and it is amazing. It's beautiful. And I'm enjoying this crisp, perfect air. And rather than just turning my mind away from you, I'm just going to say, I'm enjoying you being out here. Do you enjoy God? Do you? Some of us were raised in a tradition where we were told the opposite. Don't enjoy God. Put on those uncomfortable shoes. Wear that those clothes that don't fit so well. And you sit in that hard pew. You look uncomfortable because that's what God wants. Spit out that gum. I see that. Right? That's not what God wants. He loves you. He wants you to enjoy him. And by the way, he's the most enjoyable being that on planet Earth. He had no beginning. He'll have no end. Every good thing was his idea. Enjoy God. Start to enjoy him. Know that he loves you. Love God. Now, this is an interesting one. When you love somebody, you spend time with that person and you talk to them and you listen to them. When I have a person in my life who doesn't want to spend time with me, doesn't want to talk with me, and really has no patience to listen to me, I get the sense that they don't love me. Is it possible, Christian, follower of Jesus, is it possible that that's how God feels about you right now? That God loves you so much that he'd die for you, that he has died for you, but you just don't want to talk to him. You don't want to listen to him. You don't want to be with him. Love is active. Love is a choice. The feelings follow the actions. We glorify God by enjoying him and loving him. And then the trusting part. Do you trust God really? At our church, we have this saying, we're a growing community committed to knowing, trusting, and obeying Jesus. And as we trust, that obedience thing just comes as a follow through. If I trust you and you give me some advice on my finances or on how I relate to my spouse or on a woodworking project or whatever, I'm going to implement your advice. I'm going to obey your advice. How's that going for you? Are you trusting him? Is he trustworthy? We're going to baptize in a few moments a handful of people, and what essentially they're saying is, I want to glorify God, and I trust him enough to obey his command to say, when Jesus said, be baptized, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm all in. I'm taking the plunge. I'm saying it publicly. I'm doing the DTR, defining the relationship, because I trust him. I obey him. I love him. I enjoy him. Now, as a side note, I think the list on the screen here and in your handout is a really good calibration tool. If you are wondering if you're making a person or a thing or a hobby or a sport kind of something that you glorify, that's wrong, right? We shouldn't glorify other things other than God because we're made to glorify God. We should love other things and all that. But just fill in the blank. If you're wondering if you, are playing too much golf or video games or vacations are just a little too important to you, just fill it in. Do you enjoy those things? There's nothing wrong with enjoying that. Do you love those things? Maybe you could probably love some of those things. Certainly could love a person. Do you trust those things or that person? Well, we're getting pretty intimate now. And then do you completely obey those things? Think about how addictions work. You have a substance that, like alcohol, and it's not wrong per se in moderation, but so you enjoy it. But now you're loving it. You're trusting it. You're obeying it. Well, that's probably a good indicator that you're glorifying it. Some of us, our real problem is that our loves are out of order. We're glorifying the wrong things. And if we are confused about what we're glorifying and what we're not glorifying, we can just go down that list and check them off and say, I want to enjoy and love this thing, but I don't think I'm going to trust and obey it. Now, maybe the one exception would be a spouse relationship. When you make marriage vows, you're saying, not only do I promise to enjoy and love you, I'm going to trust you, and mutually we're going to submit and obey each other. But even in that, it's not mindless obedience. Only God is worthy, is trustworthy enough, is competent enough to be enjoyed, loved, trusted, and obeyed. Only God. Only God. I will have some red cards, by the way, and yellow cards at that table. If you want to just take a handful after the service, they do come in handy in certain arguments, especially if the person was at church. Please use them carefully and gracefully, all right? All right. At this time, we're going to transition from the message into baptism. Baptism, just a few thoughts on it, is an outward symbol of an inward reality. It's a public declaration. And these are the questions I will ask those who want to be baptized. Just two questions. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, please answer, yes, I have. Is it your desire to know, trust, and obey Jesus? We just talked about that. If so, please answer yes. At that time, I'll just put the microphone to you. If you want to say anything, like, hi, Mom, or, Mike, it was the bald head that did it. You know, you just got such a good-looking bald head that got me going to church. I started thinking about Jesus, and God uses, whatever you want to say. No self-glorification, though. And then we do have a towel for you afterwards. And how it's going to work is when you go under, you're going to cross your arms like this, and you're going to plug your nose. And then we'll just say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All the way under. For some of you who are a little more sinful, we're going to hold you under there for about 10 seconds. No, just kidding. Just kidding. We won't do that. We won't do that. One other common question is, hey, I was baptized as a baby. I kind of get the sense that a lot of people get baptized when they can understand what Jesus did for them. Should I get rebaptized? You don't have to. We baptize babies and adults at this church. If you want to, go for it. And we would just call that a rededication of the baptismal vows that were made for you by your parents. That I did that. I was baptized as a baby. And then at 18, I chose to be baptized. The Bible says you only need to be baptized once. Different theology exists on that. We have a generous theology because we get a lot of people coming from a lot of traditions. If you did not plan on being baptized, you can be baptized. It's nice weather out there. We've got a great cookout afterwards. I'm going to be walking around wet. Some of you who did plan, you're going to bring a change of clothes. Great. I don't think I've ever done a baptismal service with this tank, and I've done almost 10 with this tank where somebody who didn't plan on getting wet decided to get wet. That being said, we're not into manipulation or pushing anybody. This is your choice. It's not our choice. This is baptism. We're going to start with Pastor Jesus and myself in the water. Pastor Jesus is the lead pastor of Oasis de Vida, our sister church. That's what we're calling them now. They have a service here at 1:30 every Sunday, and we just love these people. We have a Spanish-speaking church and an English-speaking church that really like each other, and their English is a little better than our Spanish, but we figure it out, and we do that together. And so that's a picture of two pastors from very different places coming together, and I think God's honored when that happens. We're going to baptize a few kids from our youth group, and one of the youth leaders, Leanne, will then get in the water with me. She's really invested in these two individuals from our youth group. And after they are baptized, anyone else who wants to be baptized can come. Ari is going to play some worship music during the baptism and the music. You're free to get up and take communion as an individual or with families. It's right in the back there on a new shelf built for us. So with no further ado, let's start the baptism ceremony. The last thing I will say is when they come out of the water, I dare you to make the loudest, most joyful noise you can make. And that is just a symbol of how much God loves them and how much we love them too. So I'm going to take the mic off.
a cell phone?
So I'd like to start and by asking you, Pastor Jesus, would you pray for us as we begin here in Spanish?
Amado Dios y Padre que estás en gloria, Señor, en este momento te damos gracias por estar acá con esta hermosa iglesia que tú has fundado. Y te pido, Señor, que bendigas a las personas que van a recibir el bautismo este día. Día maravilloso, lleno de gloria y de bondad. Bendice nuestro pastor Mike, toda esta congregación, todos estos niños preciosos. Señor, gracias por este momento especial. Bendice oasis de vida y los hermanos que están aquí también y los que van a llegar. Los bendecimos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Thank you. Kids, you have an important job when we baptize and bring the them out of the water, you get to cheer super loud. Your wife would like you to take your watch off. Can you take the watch? It happens to me all the time. Can you tell everybody your full name?
Grant Batsman.
And how old are you, Grant?
12.
12. All right. Well, I'm very proud of you. And can Mom come over here and just kind of be close? And is Dad, you can come up here too. It's a special moment for parents. We believe at this church, parents are the primary spiritual coach of these children. All right. Grant, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Do you trust him as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Is it your desire to publicly tell everyone here that you want to know him, trust him, and obey him?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No.
All right. All right. Well then, Grant. Mom is coming next. Oh, we hold the ladder, yeah. Angela, do you want to tell everyone your full name?
I'm Angela Brooke Pathman.
And is it your desire to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior?
Yes, it is.
Is it also your desire to publicly tell all these people that you want to know him, trust him, and obey him?
Yes, it is.
Is there anything you want to say?
I was baptized. I was 8. As a child, I didn't know what I was doing, why I was doing it. I had a pastor splash water on my face, and my bangs got collapsed. But I didn't know what it meant. And so our family is just super thankful for IC and the community that's here and just the Holy Spirit moving here and in our home and in the hearts of our children. And I thought that just moved that this was the time to do it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And it's a special moment because I got to baptize these two last time. So the family's moving forward. All right. Cheering, kids, you're doing good. All right, Mark, come on up. All right, Mark. Mark, can you give us your full name?
Mark Allen Nauman.
And Mark, do you trust Jesus? Do you put your faith and your trust in him as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
And is it your desire, Mark, to know him and trust him and obey him? And do you want to tell that publicly?
Yes.
Is there anything you want to say?
I surrender. And give me the 10-second treatment.
All right. If anyone else, any other adults would like to come at this time, Pastor Jesus and I are in the water here. Otherwise, if you still want to think about it more, we have two more youth to be baptized. So seeing no adults at this time, thank you, Pastor Jesus. And now we're done, and now Leanne's going to come in. Thank you so much. All right, Leanne. Some of you know our youth group has really exploded in large part because Leanne has invited a lot of her students. She's a teacher to our youth group and she volunteers there. And Junior, are you gonna go first? Junior, come on. Junior, could you tell us your full name?
Bobby Pierre Mazzy Jr.
And do you trust Jesus, Junior? Have you accepted him into your life?
Yes.
Is it your desire to continue to know him and trust him and obey him?
Yes.
Is there anything you want to say?
No.
Leanne, is there anything you want to say?
I just want to say that I knew that God had a plan for you to be here. Junior also went to camp with the kids this summer, and I'm very proud of you.
Junior, is your mom here? Let's bring mom up here. You want to come up here? Come on up here, Mom. Hakeem's next. Hakeem, could you give us your full name?
Hakeem Mazzy.
How old are you, buddy?
9.
And you've been coming to youth group. I've sure enjoyed getting to know you, too. Junior's your older brother. Well, can I ask you a few questions? Have you accepted Jesus? Do you trust him?
Yes.
And do you want to continue to know him and trust him and obey him and tell all these people that?
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No.
All right. Leanne, anything you want to say?
Oh, a privilege about our church and being smaller is that we've got room for kids. And so we've had a lot of students that started coming and bring in siblings. So Hakeem is the result of that. And we are so glad you're here. Hakeem is a student at Sky Oaks. Junior's at Nicolet right up the street. So it's pretty cool.
All right. Fun to baptize brothers. Can you give us your full name?
Rebecca Jane Adamai.
And have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him?
I'm working on it, and I think I'm there.
All right. That's awesome. That's a great answer. That's awesome.
And is it your desire to know him, continue to get to know him, and to trust him more and more as time goes on, and you want everyone to know that?
I do. I want everyone here to be that witness to me. Yes.
Anything else you want to say?
I surrender. Yeah.
All right. Amen. We're going to play some worship music. If you are prompted and you want to be baptized, that'll be your opportunity. You can come up at any time and we'll just stop, turn the music down and play it. Again, this is a time for us all to take communion at the communion station during the worship song. If you'd like Pastor Jesus in the water, he'll jump back in the water. Otherwise, I can baptize you just myself. And that's what we'll do. And then Ari will give us a benediction. After a worship song, we are going to hear a special song.
As the picnic starts,
we have a special musician from Oasis De Vida that's going to be playing. So it's going to be a wonderful afternoon full of food. But this is our time. In case anyone else wants to come and do this, be sure to celebrate with anyone who's wet today after the picnic and tell them you love them.